on digital and online.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
bbc.co.uk/5live.
The 5 Live World Cup Daily.
This is Vassos Alexander at the foot of Table Mountain in Cape Town. Coming up, Rugby World Cup winner Chester Williams on the importance of hosting the Football World Cup.
We have a good opportunity to unify the country.
Our man on the big white bus tells us what's caught his eye.
Lots of topless men dressed as Spartans.
And we catch up with Norman Cook, a.k.a. Fat Boy Slim.
Basically, I'm the unofficial DJ of the World Cup.
World Cup winning ritual.
Hello, I'm actor Simon Callow, and my World Cup winning ritual is whenever I watch England play, I have to dress up as Gordon Banks in the first half and then put on a David Seaman wig for the second. If not, we shall lose.
Simon Callow and his dressing up box. Now listen carefully.
Phrases of the world! With Vassos Alexander.
I've decided to train as an Olympic swimmer. Whilst holidaying in Cameroon, I go to the local pool and ask, vous avez un horaire?
And I am still in training for the Olympics. Chester Williams was the only black South African in the 1995 Rugby World Cup winning side. Just the man to ask about how a major tournament like this can unify the country.
Do you have any sort of feeling of allegiance with Booth? He's the only white player in Bafana Bafana. You were the only black player in the Springboks at the time. Is there a sort of some sort of a mirror image going on?
Yeah, obviously you can see it. I was the only black player. He's the only white player in the team, and unfortunately, he hasn't had a chance to play it. Mm-hmm. Maybe that was the good luck charm for South Africa, and they didn't use him. Hopefully, they use him for the next game, and we can score maybe 5 goals. You know, it was important for me to be part of that World Cup and show for Booth. Just to make sure, to ensure that, you know, we are a diverse country, we can interact with each other's cultures and that's obviously Booth, he's proven over the years he's one of the better soccer players in the country.
How would you compare the two World Cups in bringing people together?
Sports always bring people together, and I think, you know, soccer is one of the biggest event, World Cup events in the world. It's a much bigger aspect as that we did in soccer and rugby, because of the numbers and that watching soccer and supporting soccer in South Africa, and we have a good opportunity to unify the country, whether we win or lose. I think we can still use that up, this opportunity to ensure that.
But you were one of the trailblazers. I mean, is it right that your mother didn't even support the Springboks, even when you were playing for them?
No, by then they were supporting me because I was playing for the team. But before that, you know, most of my parents and obviously before that as well, the people didn't want to support the Springboks because of the circumstances in South Africa.
Because of what they represented.
Yes. Mm. And since obviously I started playing Springboks, my parents supported. And I must say now, I mean, 15 years later, a lot of people, I mean, black people have changed their minds and supporting the Springboks and Bafana Bafana.
Yeah, and I mean, because traditionally whites in South Africa, as you point out, supported rugby and blacks opted for football. So will there be a time when none of that kind of matters? There are no sort of racial divisions in who likes what sport. Do you think that time will come?
That has changed a lot already, and then as you could see in the streets, you must have noticed that there's obviously a lot of cars driving in the street, and a lot of them are white people supporting Bafana Bafana with the flags on the cars, and that's a great opportunity, I mean, that people is using, and hopefully we don't have to talk about that in the near future and just accept each other cultures and accept who you are.
Halftime show team talk.
You shall go on to the end. You shall listen tomorrow and beyond. You shall listen on the radio and online. You shall listen with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. Whatever the cost may be, you shall listen, and you shall never surrender.
The 5 Live World Cup Daily.
That gets me every time, Simon. I'm filling up. Now, we haven't heard from him in a couple of days. High time we checked in with our man on the big white bus.
We are in Kimberley. We've just left Bloemfontein. The idea, of course, of the BBC bus is we visit each host city on a match day. The first game we went to, Uruguay v France in Cape Town, 0-0. The second game, Ivory Coast v Portugal in Port Elizabeth, 0-0. Our third game, Greece v Nigeria and Bloemfontein. 3 goals, a sending off, lots of topless men dressed as Spartans. The game held in the Bloemfontein Celtic Stadium. They play in green and white hoops after the Glasgow side, and they have a reputation for being the noisiest fans in South Africa. So I went to the game with one of their supporters, Lemek. He was only able to go because he was given a free ticket by the local organisers. Even though he's a college lecturer, he still couldn't afford the ticket. And I think that's why. I don't know if you saw the TV pictures there. A football-mad city, only 30,000 people in the 40,000 capacity stadium. I asked Lemek about this, but first of all, here are Celtic fans who did get into the game singing one of those noisy songs. Bloemfontein Celtic, regarded as the noisiest fans in South Africa. I'll explain a bit about their reputation.
The most vibrant fans in South Africa. They sing an hour before the game starts until after the game. That's how we are.
A disappointing turnout at the match. What's your theory?
The ticket prices. The ticket prices affected everyone. The minimum ticket is 140, and usually for the local games, the minimum is $20. Average citizens get maybe approximately 250 per week. So you can imagine how much it would affect their lives if they had to pop out 140 for each game.
How many fans would you get at a normal Celtic game?
We usually fill up the stadium, approximately 45,000 upwards.
So a lot more fans go and see Celtic play than go and saw that World Cup game.
That's correct. It's very disappointing, but then what can you do? There's nothing we can do. The prices are just too high for everyone.
World Cup Dailies, Fan of the Day.
My name is Fotis.
Hello, my name is Elias.
We both support Greece, yes, I support Greece very much. Papastathopoulos, he didn't even play the last match, so that's my favorite, Papastathopoulos.
My favorite is Kyriakos, because he's tough, he plays with a heart, he's a great leader, and he's scoring goals too.
Well, Kyriakos as well, he's a great defender. My favorite game, against Portugal in 2004.
You gotta go to see the oldest standing building in the world. Go to Parthenon or Acropolis, either way.
And now, Stuart Hall's pub survival fact. Australia managed to score 53 goals in just two 2002 World Cup qualifying games.
Last orders at the bar, please.
The Five Live World Cup Daily.
Remember to follow BBC Five Live on Twitter and tweet us your own World Cup facts. Next, he supports Brighton and Hove Albion. He's performed all over the world and he's labelled himself as the unofficial official DJ of the World Cup. Let's hear from Fatboy Slim, Norman Cook.
What's been your highlight of South Africa? What have you seen and heard here that has stood out for you?
The atmosphere in the stadiums. I know it's a bit of a cliche, but we've been to Soccer City, we've been to Ellis Park, and Durban as well. And the stadiums and just the atmosphere. The Vuvuzelas. I'm actually a fan of the Vuvuzelas, which is quite contradictory or controversial for those back home. And the highlight football-wise,
are you going to sample them?
Sorry?
Going to sample?
I have been thinking about it. I think they're probably actually sampled into my head in the last 4 days. But I think the highlight so far was watching the Swiss beat Spain.
What is interesting, talking to a man who's a genius with sound, is that the collective sound of the Vuvuzela from the stadium is incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it's just putting together thousands and thousands of people doing quick blasts. It sounds like one constant.
Also, it's all about velocity and frequency, because on the TV, you can't hear the fact that they get louder for, like, free kicks and corners, which really is like a roar, because it's just kind of continual buzzing sound when you watch it on the TV. But when you get there, it actually becomes the roar and the ebb and fall. And also the frequency. I'm trying to remember the exact frequency it is, but it's quite a kind of throaty sort of cattle-like frequency rather than that annoying buzz that you hear on the TV.
Yes, it's better in the when you're there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a B-flat, isn't it?
Is it B-flat? No, it's the B-flat before OC, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, I think it's 430 kilohertz, is that? Yeah, all right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, smart Alec over there. It's a good sound, yeah, good atmospheric sound. Yeah, you're right. What have you been doing? You've been to concerts here then? Tell us about that.
No, I'm doing concerts. Basically, I'm the unofficial official DJ of the World Cup. again, which started in Japan, where we just worked out if I booked shows around the England games, I got to see the England games. So we've been to Johannesburg and to Durban, and then here, then we're going to Plettenberg Bay and then Port Elizabeth. So we're sort of vaguely following the England team round, playing shows for the England fans to give them something to do on their nights off, playing for the South Africans. We've done two shows for the Aussie fan zones. The Aussies camped in the Durban cricket ground in rows of military tents, 1,500 of them camped on the cricket pitch. So, yeah, so for me, it's a mixture of business and pleasure.
Have you had any contact with the players? Are you?
I don't think they're allowed to the shows, frankly. We did invite them. We said we'd put them on the guest list, but none of them have turned up thus far.
And what are you doing next?
Next, after the World Cup, yeah. I've got a hack back for Glastonbury, and then a big show in Clapham Common. It's just sort of festivals. Clapham Common in August. Festival season.
Hello, I'm Norman Cook. Some people know me as Fatboy Slim. You're listening to World Cup Daily.
It's now time for the crystal ball. Let us peer into the future with Mystic Ken.
As I stare into the World Cup crystal ball, I'm getting visions of an Australian midfielder. Yes, it's coming to me now. A midfielder from down under. And he's picked the ball up from his own area and... Yes? I see it now. He's dribbling all the way down the left wing. Weaving and turning, weaving and turning. And he shoots. And... he misses.
Mystic Ken. Now, there is a man who builds excitement, which brings this episode of the World Cup Daily to a close. Our thanks to all of you in Athens and the islands who've made us the fourth most popular download in Greece. Do visit bbc.co.uk/5live to see the photos of Fatboy Slim blowing the 5live Vuvuzela, watch our ever-growing collection of videos from the tournament, and take part in the World Cup shootout quiz. Today's World Cup Daily Phrase was brought to you from Cameroon. And the phrase was...
Vous avez un horaire? Do you have a timetable?
And now you know one of the answers to 5live's World Cup shootout quiz. Visit bbc.co.uk/5live to play. Go on, challenge your mates.
Thanks for taking the time to download this BBC Radio 5 Live podcast. To find other programmes you might be interested in, click bbc.co.uk/5live, where you'll also find our terms of use.